Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. And since this is the actual holiday being celebrated for Independence Day, which took place yesterday on Sunday, happy 4th of July to everybody. From all of us here at Zimcom, we hope you're having a great weekend and a great week ahead. To get things started, let me thank our sponsors for the Zimcast, and that includes Novus International, a leader in animal health and nutrition for the poultry, beef, aqua, dairy, and pork markets. And also Leica Geosystems, the ag guidance people when it has to be right. In this week's program, I'm going to feature an interview that I did at the Iowa Corn Indy 250. I met, once again, a guy that I've kind of gotten to know over several years of having an opportunity to cover Indy races, and that is Ron McQueenie, who is Director of Photography for the IRL. Ron is the guy who is in charge for all of the photographers that work those races, including himself. And so we had a little chat because I wanted to learn a little bit more about what he does and see if he had some interesting stories. And as it turns out, he really did. And that's what prompted me to think, well, this would be great to share with you all here on the Zimcast. Basically, you'll hear him tell the story in our discussion, but he brought up Paul Dana, who was an Indy car driver and probably the guy most responsible for those high-performance cars running on ethanol, which they've been doing for several years now. I got to know Paul and had the opportunity to interview him, and we've featured some of those on AgWire.com, of course, but then in a tragic accident that took place at the beginning of a season, a couple seasons ago, his car wrecked and Paul didn't make it. So it was kind of interesting to hear Ron come up with this little story about Paul and having done a little photography work for him. So I just thought that was a great anecdote to hear and didn't expect it, but that's often what happens when you do these interviews. So we're going to share that story with you here. This is my interview with Ron at the Iowa Corn Indy 250. First of all, Ron, tell me a little bit about what that means and what you do.
Well, my main job is to make sure everybody has access, all the professional photographers that are here to cover the event has access and knows about the safety regulations that we have for the Indy Racing League.
Well, I think in my time of having an opportunity to cover some of these races and be a photographer, that it's an incredibly important and job with a lot of responsibility.
Yes, we have we do a lot of media coverage. I carry a team of two or three photographers to each event, and we not only oversee the other photographers, we take pictures for the Izod IndyCar series and the Firestone Indy Lights series, and for our website coverage, our media coverage, our promotional coverage and everything else we do. Plus, we have our archives back at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that goes back to 1909 when that racetrack was built, along with all the IndyCar coverage from through the years, starting with the announcement of the series in 1994.
You weren't there at that first ones, right?
I was there. I've been involved with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as a either a photographer or the chief photographer since 1972.
Wow, a lot of history there, I know. Well, we just finished a meeting here with photographers at this Iowa race, or before this race. What are some of the things that people probably don't realize out there that these photographers who are working here doing a job have to keep in mind when they're shooting these cars going over 200 miles an hour?
Well, our thing is all about safety, not only for the photographers, but for the competitors on the racetrack. As you know, being a photographer yourself, there are parts of the camera that can fall off and cause a yellow or even cause a bad accident under certain situations. So we try to instill in the people before the event at every race, we give a photo meeting, safety meeting for the photographers before each day's activities. And what we do is we try to preach to them that it's a dangerous job. We want them to be safe. We want them to get their shots, but we want them to do it in a safe manner, not only for them, but for the competitors on the racetrack. So we ask them to, you know, check or take off their lens shades when they're shooting on the outside wall. We want to make sure that they have the right access to get to these places, but once they get there, they know how to conduct themselves in a safe manner. And while racing can't be 100% safe, we can try to cut the odds of them getting hurt or hurting somebody else. So we want to make sure that the places they shoot at, out of, like the drop gates on the outside of the wall, are closed when not in use, so that parts, if a car wrecks at that area, the parts won't fly through it. We also preach safety in the pit area, and we only allow a limited number of people over the pit wall to work the practice sessions. And once we allow those people over there, we try to train them to be safe, and we have what to watch for, like the mechanics. When a car's coming in, the mechanics do certain things that give you an idea, if you have your back to that car that's going to be coming in, that all they have to do is watch the mechanics and they'll know when to come in. If we have an incident in the pits, we don't want to keep them from shooting this incident, but we want to keep them at a safe distance. So we ask them to put long glass on and shoot it from a distance rather than running up to the accident scene and being a part of any situation like a fire or trying to extract a driver or anybody else that might be hurt in the incident and getting them out of harm's way.
Well, those things happen. I was here at the first Iowa race, which we kind of wondered if any car was going to be left standing by the end of. But I was in, I believe, turn one window, shot a few photos, just closed it and was maybe 10 feet when we had a wreck there. And I could hear the parts hitting right where the window was. And I had been there, maybe about 15 seconds before that. So I can vouch for the concerns and the need for this kind of safety. Also, just make an anecdotal comment here. I have always loved photography, but it was really when we got started with the whole ethanol fueling these cars that I had a chance to start doing more photography. And I know I came to an Indy race. It was the first time with a little, maybe just slightly better than a point-and-shoot camera, and wondered why every time I pushed the button, I had a nice picture of the track with nothing in it. So you were one of the first people I talked to and made a couple recommendations, and that was the impetus for the gear pack that I've got now, which it may not be quite like some of these guys who do it all the time, but it really kind of propelled me to doing a lot more photography and for events like this. So as we kind of look at your time in doing this, you've probably seen a lot of things. There are a lot of celebrities that are involved in this. What are some of the highlights that might be stand out in your career of what you've been able to do in terms of shooting or who you've had a chance to do that with?
Yeah, well, in a 40-year career, I've met a lot of celebrities from rock stars to movie stars to some of the greatest drivers in the world from all forms of life. I've shot not only the IndyCar series and Firestone Indy Lights series. I have shot NASCAR. I've shot NASCAR in the early days. I worked with Richard Petty and STP and Pontiac when he was driving for them. I've just met a plethora of movie stars and other people in political world. We've gone to the White House two or three times with our winning drivers from Indy, and that's always a thrill, and it's just a great thing. But some of the fans that you meet, too, are so passionate about the sport. That is just as important as the celebrities that come out. And I know, well, in your instance, you were familiar with Paul Dana. Paul came to me when he was running with the Indy Lights series back in the day, and he had an idea on this ethanol thing, and he says, I need a shot taken, and I don't know where to turn. And I said, well, you know, I'll try to help you any way I can. So he arranged in a neighborhood right down the street from where I live, he arranged with a farmer who had a cornfield to bring his car in the side yard beside the guy's house, pulled the transporter in, dropped the car off, pushed the car out, And I got up in the bucket of a tractor, the front loader bucket of a tractor, and got above so we could shoot the field of corn, the endless field of corn behind Paul's car, and Paul standing next to the car, and it turned out this is how he ended up getting his ethanol. He had painted his car in ethanol colors, and some of his sub-sponsors that were on his car that year, he made them a major portion, and it turned out he did such a good job with this promotion, and we did a fairly decent job with the picture that he ended up with an IndyCar ride from that. And that was fun, and I knew Paul very well, and he did a good job of promoting the ethanol part.
Well, that's a great story. I did not know that, actually. And Paul, God rest his soul, great guy, and couldn't be a more passionate advocate, not only for racing, of course, but also, like you said, for the ethanol industry that now fuels these cars. And, you know, speaking of that, I did want to bring it up because one of the things that I remember you telling me when this got started was how, especially at the start of the race, how a little cloud would kind of form, you know, and you could see the difference from year to year when the fuel conversion was made and how much cleaner the air was, not only visibly, but also, I mean, just for those of us that got to be out on the track, around the track, in the pits, end of the day, you're breathing a little easier.
Yeah, you are. And it's a big difference for the start of especially the Indy 500, where you've got 33 cars coming down. And while there is a little dust and dirt on the racetrack from the lack of activity on the track for a couple of days, it's still, you could see the kind of an orangish haze that came up from the cars as they accelerated coming towards the green flag, and now you don't see that as much. It's nice now being in the flag stand for the last 8 or 10 years. That haze used to come up and get in our noses, and while I'm concentrating on the shot of shooting the celebrity doing the green flag, you still get that feeling, and now you don't with the ethanol. It's a lot cleaner.
Anything you might say before we go here? I'm thinking of maybe some photographers out there, or would-be photographers, that would like to think that they might have an opportunity to cover high-performance motorsports. Any words of advice, encouragement, if they want to get into this?
Well, it takes equipment, which you have to spend a little bit of money on, as you well know, and it takes a lot of practice. You need to go out to your local bull rings and shoot a little from the grandstands and practice your panning capabilities and learn, talk to people. Never be afraid to ask questions. But if you have the drive, I started as a fan. I picked up a camera. I learned to shoot when I was in the Army. I was a hobbyist and happened to fall into a weekend job at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and within 5 years I was running the department just by a series of flukes that I was in the right place at the right time, but I had the passion. I was once told when I took a photo class, it was a college correspondence course with New York Institute of Photography, and because of my racing, love of racing, I would send all my assignments to be racing related, the pictures that I was taking in my travels as a fan. And finally, my instructor, after about 6 weeks of sending nothing but racing stuff, he sent me back. He says, maybe you need to pick another profession because you're obviously not going to make it in photography. Well, I've often wanted to go back and show him that I did make it, and it just determination and keeping at something that you really love and want to do, you can do it.
Yeah, I couldn't echo that more. And I start out in broadcasting and still, you know, work close to that through the web stuff that we do today, but using all the same skills that we were taught in broadcasting school. And my main college professor my last year said, poked me in the chest, said, son, you're never going to make it. You have no career in this. Just went on and on. Couldn't have been more discouraging. And I just poked him back in the chest and said, you are so wrong. And I wish I could see him again, like you said, and kind of say, you know, what do you think? how are we doing, you know? Well, Ron, it's so good to see you, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity once again to come here this year. It's the only race that I do have the opportunity, but it's probably, as I look at things that I've been able to do, this is one of the more rewarding types of assignments that I've had to shoot photos. Can't tell you how much I do love it and appreciate everything that you do, your staff, and all of the folks at IRL, or these tracks for that matter, too. Iowa Speedway folks are great. So thank you again, Ron. Well, that is the Zimcast for this week. I hope you have a great holiday week. And we're going to leave you with some music from Music Alley. This is from Life Has Teeth, and the song is called Independence Day. I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.